Hello, dear listener. You have not stumbled upon. You have chosen to listen to.
Yeah, there's no stumbling
tea.
Upon this.
Yeah, it's
you
so
gotta
difficult.
Need to push the button.
That reference just means that we're worth the trip.
Thank you so much for working
Thank
so hard to
so
find us.
Diligently. There's a coupon for 5% off you can redeem at the end if you want to print it off.
You gotta make it to the end, though.
You just gotta make it to the end. So welcome in. It's a little thing we do, sipping tea. Heather, who is well known in the radio world, at least in the Christian radio side, all throughout the Midwest, and little old me, who's becoming famous for, I don't know, being mousy or mediocre.
No,
or quiet,
Sunday
I
Steven.
Think.
Sunday
I am
Steven.
Sunday Steven, and I enjoyed that. You know where I got that, don't you?
No.
Do you know where I got that moniker? I remember the very first place I got that moniker.
Really?
Yeah. We were in Ypsilanti, Michigan at a concert together.
Yes, we were. And he was like, that is not a real place. I'm like, it is actually a real place.
I think they changed the spelling so that every once in a while they can move it on a map.
I don't think so.
And they don't have to have people find it. But we were attending a concert together. We were hosting a concert together, which was rare for us at that time
it
in
is,
our careers.
Yeah.
And then a lady came in and she's like, are you the guy from Sundays? Sunday Steven. And it just, from then on, I just was like, you know what? That's too snappy not to go with it.
It's very true.
So there
very
you go.
True. Very good.
You have graciously allowed me to offer question number one.
Yes, because here's the deal with this. We come
There's
to the
deal.
Table with a question for each other. And the only, you know, rule that we have is that is if you ask the question, you have to be willing to answer it.
Yes.
And the whole purpose of this is that this podcast brings us joy. So that's
now,
why we do this.
The funny thing about this, though, as I have grown into the comfort of this chair, being next to you and doing this podcast, is there are questions that pop into my mind once in a while that I only ask because I can't wait for you to ask me.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
I don't know how fair that is, but it's fair. So I'm going to ask you this question. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
What is the most ridiculous attention-seeking thing you have done in your adult life?
Oh, in my adult life?
In your adult life. Not as a teenager. We've always done the dumb thing.
Oh, come on now.
We've always wanted to jump in an airplane and fly in a Cessna to a water park and get out of town. No. In your adult life, the
ridiculous?
Most
ridiculous?
The most ridiculous attention-seeking thing you've done in your adult life. That's
wow.
the question.
I don't know that I've done anything in my adult life.
Oh, come on. But you give yourself too much credit.
I will tell you this. When I was in high school.
Okay. That's adult-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, because I was the canned food fairy.
What? What?
So they had an outfit and everything.
Oh, please, dear internet listeners, can you locate a picture?
But it was a fairy costume, and I would come out during assemblies and go, it's time for the canned food drive, and I would do the whole, but that, my friend, that was a lot. That was a lot.
I am emotionally bowing to your superiority.
Because no.
There is no way. My answer is not. Not even going to be any fun because it's not bad at all.
Here's the other thing I will say. Probably a ridiculous thing that I did recently was, and it was to get attention. I will tell you that. So I went to band camp. I just remembered this. I went to band camp with my youngest, who's 17, and they have dress up days for the kids.
Oh, yeah. Like theme days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, can I dress up? And they were like, well, I guess.
I mean, adults don't normally.
Right. But the band director was like, yes, Heather, you can. So they had the, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but like you wear a t-shirt and on it is a lie.
Oh, no. I'm unfamiliar
with this.
So they
got like white lies.
Oh,
okay. Little white lies.
Okay.
So I bought a t-shirt that said, I'm 6 feet tall. And
that's
I wore
really
it
good.
Around. And they're all like,
yeah.
Wait,
because
no.
listener, she might be 5'2.5".
No, those are fighting words.
I'm being generous.
In a past episode, we talked about the fact that I went to the doctor one time and she was like, you're 5'3". And I'm like, oh, no, ma'am, I am not. I am 5'4". And she was like, oh, no, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Yes, let's do it again. And so, no, I'm 5'3". But yeah,
got a little osteoporosis maybe going on there.
Like turned 50 maybe. I don't know.
I'm just,
but anyway,
that wasn't
so
fair.
That was definitely, I wanted the kids to notice me. So I did do the theme
days. And the
days.
Irony wasn't lost on you. That's awesome.
No,
I love
it wasn't.
That. And you know what surprises me? It wasn't lost on those kids either.
No.
Because sometimes You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't mean to lump them all together, but in general, with a really big paintbrush, you could say that younger people don't get irony most of the time.
Yes, that's true.
Would that be correct?
That is true. Okay. Yes. Good. Now, I'm remembering something else. Now.
Oh, this is wonderful. Okay. This is wonderful because I really feel like it's good context.
And I don't know that I would totally say I did this on my own.
Okay.
But I hosted a morning show in Kalamazoo, Michigan with my boss at the time. Okay.
Okay.
He came up with the idea that I would do a tug of war with a listener across a mud puddle. And I'm not talking about, it was a large mud puddle.
And you agreed to this.
Well, okay. I was in my 20s and he was my boss. I kind of didn't feel like I had... But I really owned it. Okay. So like
stars.
I owned it because I was like, well, if I have to do it, I have to do it. There are pictures of that somewhere. And I technically lost, but there was a technicality that we got me off on. So it was like a tie, a draw. But yeah, I did it. So, I went out and they had someone like commentating me.
So did you end up with mud all over you
or
not? Okay.
Yes.
So you did end up muddy.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Even though it was a tie or a draw.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how that works.
Because there was a technicality. That we can't go into because it's too long. But no, so there's like three things.
That's
so
awesome.
I just kind of, because that's something I got to go back into the, blank spaces in my brain
and pull them out.
It was
kind of unfair of me to hit you with that because I've had this story for, a long time.
Okay, so tell me, what ridiculous thing did you do for attention in your adult life?
Now you have to keep in mind, again, that...
why do we have to qualify these?
Well, I'm just going to give you a little bit of backstory. That's all. I think it's a little more fun. My oldest is quickly approaching the age of 31, and she was a toddler. Okay. I don't know how old she was, but she was a toddler. And I was working for an optical company.
Okay.
And twice a year, this optical company took us to a large city, and we had what we would have called a convention at the time. Now, it wasn't an optical convention. It was just our company.
Okay.
But it was days of training, and at the end of the week, it was awards. And each night, there was some sort of semi-organized activity. Well, on dinner night, which was group dinner night, it was decided that in the city we were in the hotel, was a really nice restaurant.
Oh, okay.
And this restaurant had some kind of movie, it was referencing a movie.
So it was like a theme?
Yeah, kind of like a theme.
Okay.
Not a theme park, but it was a theme, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so they tell us all, hey, optical company employees, make sure you're in the lobby at this time because the doors of the hotel open at this time.
Okay.
Not a problem. So we're all kind of dressed up a little nicely. It's not awards night, but it is dinner night, which meant, hey, put on a tie and comb your hair.
Right.
Show up, you know? And so we did. Well, unbeknownst to us, that night of the week, which must have been a Thursday night, the restaurant was closed.
Oh, no.
And so you've got, I'm not kidding, close to 400 of these optical employees, many of them from other time zones who, this is well past their dinner time.
Oh, wow.
And so the owner of the hotel got involved and called in the restaurant manager and all the wait staff. And got everyone there on the premises.
Wow, okay.
And it suddenly turned into where this restaurant was not open to the public.
They were
only going to cater to us.
Wow.
Okay, so that's the setting now, okay? And we were sitting by regions. So I was sitting in a large kind of off to the side. It was sort of L-shaped, and the other part of the square, which would have made up the square or the opposite side of the L, was the kitchen and where they brought everything else out.
Okay.
I was sitting off to one side toward the head of the table. I found out, why this dinner, this restaurant, was movie-themed. And what it was that the wait staff had been trained to break into song or do like a 3-minute monologue.
Seriously.
Or do something entertaining-ish.
Okay.
You know? And so they could either, like one waiter did voices and did sound effects. Another waiter was a comedian. Mm. Another one was a classically trained opera singer. He was had a beautiful, he reminded me of Mike Rowe. Yeah. Honestly, as I look back, I wonder if Mike Rowe worked there. I don't know.
Wow.
Then another young lady had just a beautiful like jazzy sound. Mm-hmm. I mean, but each of these waiters are floating around.
Mm-hmm.
So this was my first conference, and everybody that I had known up until that point, I was kind of making a big deal over, I had the largest volume store by volume of how many pairs of glasses and money.
Okay.
But I was also making a big deal about how much money I was making because I was in such a big store.
Uh-huh.
And I was also making a big deal over the fact that, maybe 6 months prior to that, I had graduated with an MBA.
You were all up in yourself.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I'm saying.
All up in yourself.
I'm all up in myself, right? But up until that time, I was not like I am now. I was quiet.
Mm.
I was more reserved. Mm. I thought, I'll be in leadership and I'll be running this company in 6 months. So I need to be very vice presidential. I need to be, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're having dinner.
Okay.
Okay. And it's our server is just like, he's got a big section, so he's walking back and forth and back and forth, mm-hmm. and he's not really doing much to entertain us like the other wait staff had been.
Mm.
I get up out of my chair, I walk over to the piano,
yes.
I flip through the music on the pianist's huge folder,
uh-huh.
I find my favorite song from Guys and Dolls, I grab the microphone. And I sing the entire song.
What?
And on the last chorus of this song, my waiter realizes I'm a guest. And now he's shocked and just so scared.
Oh my goodness.
He runs over to me, makes me sing the last verse with him again.
Oh.
And then end in a chorus. And we're harmonizing by the end of it. The entire restaurant filled with almost 400 optical employees from our one company.
Yes.
Broke into thunderous applause.
Oh, that's amazing.
And all I did was walk back and put my linen napkin back in my lap and sat down.
You were like, I did it. I did what I came to do.
I mean, I saw a need. I filled the need. The need's been filled. And I sat down. Done. And I had other employees from across the company coming up to me and go, you don't really work for the optical. You're a professional in disguise. And I was like, no, actually, I'm actually a really good optician, too. I mean, I only have a mediocre, but I have sung this song from Guys and Dolls for so long, and it's my favorite musical that I knew that was in my range, and I knew I could pull it off.
That's amazing.
Like I said, I was all up in myself, and so I thought, why not? Who's going to stop me?
That's amazing.
I was looking for something from like Billy Joel, because I was sort of a Billy Joel, but then I came across all this like musical music.
And you were like,
and I was like, oh, it's got to, Guys and Dolls has got to be in here. And then in order of like how the songs were performed, they were there.
Wow.
And so I looked at him and I went, and he was like, let's go. And he was a virtuoso. He got to it.
Wow.
And we had a fantastic experience.
That's amazing.
And then the owner of the restaurant came up and said something to me later on. He was like, you know what? It was really a tense environment because we didn't know we were coming.
Yeah.
We thought we were going to just get to stay closed. And you kind of helped smooth some of that in between your company and our restaurant.
That's
Thank
nice.
You for doing that. And I was like, hey, how about a free piece of cheesecake? No, I don't remember. I was going to say, I don't remember if I said cheesecake, but I definitely said dessert.
Yeah,
and he
right.
was very appreciative. But I mean, I totally stepped into that on purpose.
That's amazing.
Just for the attention it would get me. And it totally got me attention.
Wow.
And every time I tell this story to my family, humongous eye rolls. Like, I'm surprised their eyes don't stay stuck in the back
That's
of
so
their
bad.
Head. Because it's so bad. They're like, yeah, you know, it's dad. So there's part of
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But he might have actually pulled that off.
That'd have been amazing.
So yeah, that's my
wish. There's a video of that.
I wish there were too.
I mean, those are the things sometimes when we're in our 50s, you're like, man, yeah, there just would have been a video camera for that, you know, like to capture that. So
it probably would have been 60 pounds and required two people to carry it at the time. But,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I was a younger man during the course of that story. So
exactly.
That's why I wanted to ask you that question.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Oh, I had no idea what to expect,
so,
and I would have never thought that.
You weren't slack-jawed, but you were very entertained by this.
I was, and I think it's pure awesomeness that you would do that.
It was ridiculous. I would never do that again. I just can't see it happening.
All right, so my question is next for you. Have you ever had a significant, like, break a bone or like something that was really like a serious health issue in your life?
No, not really, thankfully. I did, however, which is hilarious. Would you like to answer first this
time?
I'm ready. I feel like you should go first.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. I was skipping choir in high school, my senior year in high school.
Uh-huh.
And not only was I skipping, but the hallway there was an exit.
Okay.
And so I was out trying to run with the cross country team just to get some exercise. Mm-hmm. But they all knew that I had skipped choir. Okay.
Okay.
And so to a guy, I don't know why, but I wasn't part of the, you know how it goes?
Oh yeah.
You're not part of the team.
Right. Yeah.
You're hanging out with the team, but you're not part of the team.
Right.
So as we go by this choir room with the windows cracked open, they start yelling, chanting my name. Okay.
No.
Dead serious. Not a problem, because I think, what's Mr. Malone? I loved Mr. Malone, by the way. He's no longer with us, but I love him. I was thinking, what's Mr. Malone going to do? Stop choir just to come
get me?
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what happened. But here's the thing, and it ties back into your story. I had stepped off a curb to go from sidewalk to street, because the whole track team was running pretty much in front of me, because I'm, of course, in terrible shape compared to the track team. So I'm at the back, but I'm also trying to hide in the crowd of the track team. When I step off and I hear him yelling my name along with an included expletive of his choice, and I'm so scared, I turn to look. And when I turn to look, my body shifts. And I thought I broke my ankle.
Oh, no.
I twisted a tendon. I did not snap the tendon. I twisted the tendon. In fact, the orthopedics person that I went to said it would have been cleaner had you snapped it. It would have been less pain.
Oh.
The thing swelled up like a grapefruit and changed colors.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was the most... I mean, I've had 3 concussions playing sports, but that in a singular way... I was in so much pain, I passed out.
Oh.
And when I woke up, they had gotten me onto the hood of a car.
Really?
No kidding. Mr. Malone's face is the first face I see. I'm like dazed and confused and in pain. And I finally struggle to get my eyes open, and I'm reorienting through the world. And Mr. Malone is hovering like 6 inches nose to nose with
me.
Oh,
my goodness.
Just screaming at me. And I'm thinking, it would have been easier if I had died. It would have just been easier if I had
died. I wouldn't have had to deal with this situation.
I wouldn't have to deal with this. So they know it's real, because the thing is already immediately growing by leaps and bounds. They take me to the office. They call my mom. My mom waits to the end of the school day because she figures she's going to pick up my sister too, because my sister was at the same high school. So to save herself a trip.
Might as well just make him wait.
You know, and let's not even go to how many shared birthdays I have with this woman. So a soft spot or a sore spot. Anyway, so she picks us both up and she's like, oh my gosh, this is way more serious than I envisioned. And I was like, yeah, I mean, come on. So they helped me get into the car, and then they're like, hey, you need to take him to the doctor. You know, it happened not on school property. He had actually stepped off the curb.
Stepped off
the
school property.
And I was like, what happened to Mr. Malone yelling at me that involved a school official? You know, where was that at?
No, they
Nowhere.
Didn't mention
oh,
that.
Oh, didn't mention that. So we finally get me piled in the car, and I'm in the back seat because I'm thinking I'm going to kind of lay down and angle a little bit. And I decided to grab the door frame just to kind of give myself one last push to get because I only have 1 foot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm afraid.
And my sister gets in the front seat, doesn't watch what I'm doing, and leans back and slams my door closed with my hand, four fingers completely closed in the door.
Oh.
And now I can't reach the door handle because of my foot, and I can't pop the door. And I'm screaming, and my mom and sister are both thinking, he's dying. This ankle is killing him. He's in, and I'm like, no, open the door. So my mom finally has to find a place in Chicago traffic to pull over. So where my sister finally gets out and sees these pink and purple little tips to my fingers. She starts bawling. She's of no use now.
Oh, man.
It was the most ridiculous experience. I don't have a lot of broken bone stories or anything like that, or injuries, and I still have my appendix and all that other stuff. But that ankle, that whole foot and ankle actually are the weakest part of my body even till today.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
And if you just wouldn't have skipped choir.
I know it. And you know what? Not only did I skip choir, Madrigal practice was right after that.
Mm.
And we went to state that summer, you know, toward the end of the school year, and won a gold for Madrigal. There was only 12 of us in this Madrigal group, but I had skipped choir and was also intending to skip Madrigal practice. And I was the only senior male tenor in that choir.
Oh,
and he
my.
Was so ticked at me.
Oh, I bet he was. I bet he was.
And he was like, I'll see you on Saturday for Madrigal practice. And I was just like, I'm dying. Where's the sympathy? I'm dying. He didn't care.
He didn't care at all. No, he didn't care at all.
So, okay, your turn. What is the most major thing? And we're not counting child.
No.
That's not fair.
No, huh? So I had a lot of different jobs when I was in college, and one of them I worked at like a nursing home, but I was in the kitchen.
Oh, okay? That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and so, but I did like the nutritional supplements and
Did you do the nutrition shakes made out of hamburger and stuff?
Oh, no. I did, of course, can't think of the name of it. Insurer or something
like that. Right, no.
But in order to work in a nursing home, you have to have a multitude of tests done in order to,
definitely.
So they were like, yeah, you have to take this test, and one of them was a tuberculosis test. I didn't think anything of it, you know, and I all of a sudden, they put it like a little needle in your arm, and they put a little bit of the tuberculosis under your skin, and
how it reacts.
If it festers up, then you have tuberculosis. Well, mine festered up.
No way, you can't, that's so contagious. You cannot work in a kitchen.
And I was like, I was 21 at the time, freaking out. So I go in because they had to check it, and they go in and they're like, you need to go see our doctor right now. And they sent me to their like office.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And I'm crying. Can you imagine little 20-year-old me? I was like, I'm going to die from tuberculosis. You know, and so like I'm a mess.
TB. Yeah, I am. Mange and all the other stuff that goes.
So I remember sitting in, I had this old station wagon, and just sobbing. Then I finally pulled myself together.
Did you not go to the doctor?
No, I was in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
Waiting to get
right.
Yeah, you know, I go in and they're like, "Yeah, we need to take an X-ray." I am barely keeping it together. If I am okay,
wow.
And they look at the X-ray and they're like, "Yeah, so you have tuberculosis dormant in your lungs."
Really?
Dormant, though. It was not active. It was dormant.
Okay, so you weren't contagious.
No, I wasn't contagious. But they said, well, you know, we are worried that if sometime in the future you have a car accident or you give birth, that it will become active. And so we have to treat it. Do you know how they treat?
No.
You have to take a pill a day for a year.
Stop it.
No, that's what it was back then. And it was like 1993 or so.
A pill a day
and
for a year.
The health department provided it for me, so I didn't have to pay. But they were huge.
Oh, my stars.
They were huge. And
you couldn't ask for a chewable or anything.
Exactly. I'm like, could we help a girl out
here?
How
about a gummy? Is there a gummy that we could?
No, it wasn't the thing back then. Yeah. So every day I had to choke down that pill.
Get out of town.
And then I'd have to go back to the health department, and they would give me more pills, and they tested me a couple times to make sure that I would get a negative tuberculosis. But yeah.
Where do you think you came into contact with TB?
I have no idea. And that's what they asked me.
Have you ever explored that in your memory to see, well, I was working with sheep pretty closely one time during a summer break. I have no idea where you would even come into contact with
that. We couldn't figure it out either. And the funny thing is that when I was 16, I had a really bad car accident. And they thought, well, it had to have been then sometime between 16 and 21.
Because they would have found it.
They would have, something probably would have happened if I, because I was, yeah, it was a significant car accident. And
wow.
So, but yeah, that was the crazy, and I was a mess. Like, I thought, I'm going to die. Like, I'm 21, and I've got doctors freaking out, you
Heather's
know.
In their home. Little Heather's writing her own eulogy.
That's right.
Please don't forget to talk about how caring of an individual
I am. That's right, exactly. But that was the scariest, and
wow.
I don't know that I even at that point knew too much about tuberculosis and to know, like, what it,
right.
But I just knew it could kill you.
Oh,
like,
sure, yeah.
It's
well,
very,
that's pretty much all I know, and that it's extremely contagious.
Right, it's serious,
and it's,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, in its most active form.
But yeah, they were like, you're going to be okay. Like, you're a healthy individual. I mean, the doctors were really great when they, because I was a mess. I mean,
and did you have to tell your OBGYN every time you had a kid? You have had three kids, beautiful kids, perfectly healthy kids.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing from each of those times because you did what you were prescribed to do.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part. Remember, I was 21. It was one of those things, too. There were days I could not get that pill down, okay? And I was like, I can't.
Come on, a little Hershey syrup?
I don't know. I mean, it was bad. They were huge.
I could come up with some ways to.
It was huge,
help
but for the most
that.
Part, and I think I even said to the person at the health department, like, I didn't take it every day because I couldn't get the. And she was like, "That's okay. It's really preventative for the whole year,
wow.
as much as." But yeah, tuberculosis.
That's
tuberculosis.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, dear listener, we're turning it back on to you. We don't want to know your most serious disease. No, no, no. But if you do have a question that Heather and you would like to explore with along with us and pose to us, by all means, get your quiz caps on and come up with your best questions, and we will give you credit for sending those questions in on air.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
We can do that at least, right?
Absolutely.
And then, you know, you have to tell us who gets to start, though. Because if not, then we end up tossing a quarter or, you know.
And he's like, no, please. Yeah, we argue about
yeah,
it.
We
so
do.
don't do that.
It's the nicest arguing between two annoying individuals.
Exactly.